Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. Jan's Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Levin. And you're listening to
Talking Brawls.
And I am back, the Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, with your host, as always, Niall McGrath. And I'm actually minus Mark Moriarty this week. Mark fell ill during the week, just in hospital getting a few tests done at the moment. And he'll be back with us in a couple of weeks' time, as good as new. Just been one of those weeks, guys. Everything's gone wrong. That's why the podcast's up so late. Load of technical issues, things breaking down, laptops blowing up, all that sort of, you know, shizzle. So apologies for that. But as always, we have a top quality lineup for you today. Starting off, we caught up with Paul Redzer Redmond, Cage Warriors. Paul Redmond, who is coming off a great win against Ryan Roddy at Cage Warriors 51 in the Helix in Dublin on New Year's Eve. Fantastic submission, toehold victory. And it's just been announced this week that Paul will be going up against Alexi Roberts in Cage Warriors 52 in London in the HMV Forum in Kentish Town. So we caught up with him and just talks a little bit about his opponent and everything Cage Warriors and Irish MMA. Also on the show today, we have top middleweight contender Kostas Filippou. He just chats a little bit about everything. Broke some exclusive news to me last week. He's going to be out for 5 months with a broken nose, and he really does want to fight Michael Bisping, it sounds like. In the interview, he talks a lot about that, and he said that's one match he would love to see happen for himself. Also on the show today, we have one of the funniest men in mixed martial arts, Adam Hunter. Adam obviously has a Twitter page, at MMA Roasted, and he does a podcast as well with Andrew Epstein, and it's called Chokes and Jokes. It's really, really funny, guys, and you've obviously seen him. If you're an MMA fan, you'll have seen him on Twitter. He's absolutely priceless guy. He's been on like Joe Rogan podcast, loads of things. So it was great to catch up with him, and he's a funny dude, so you should check out that interview later on. Also on the show today, this interview was actually recorded last week and I couldn't get it up because of technical issues, but I'm going to play it anyway because it's a good interview with Ricardo Lamas, who defeated Eric Koch at the weekend at UFC on Fox 6 in Chicago, in his hometown of Chicago, and surely that gives him a title shot now. Next, surely he'll face the winner of Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar this weekend when they square off at UFC 156 in Vegas. So, yeah, guys, let's get things kicked off. Obviously, we'll start off with the card 2 weeks ago, actually, because we haven't been back since then. The UFC on FX card 7 in Brazil. You know, Michael Bisping, what can we say? Again, he comes up short. Very disappointing for European MMA and Michael Bisping as well. But, you know, he came up short. Vitor Belfort, a very different performance from Vitor Belfort, I felt. Vitor went in very, you know, calculated. He didn't go out, you know, as normal. You often find with Vitor, he often goes out and he's very reckless in the early rounds, but he was calm, he had a methodical approach, and he sort of picked away Bisping in the first round, let him know he was there, didn't do anything rash, and he just caught Bisping with a beautiful head kick, and, you know, possibly Dan Meriliota stopped the fight a little bit too soon, I would have said. Obviously, earlier on in the night, there was you know, huge controversy with Yuri Alicante and Pedro Nobre when, you know, Dan called it no contest to the back of the head because, you know, punches to the back of the head were clearly Pedro Nobre would take home an Oscar if he was an actor, because it was didn't seem to strike him at all in the back of the head. And obviously, we've learned this week that Pedro Nobre has been released by the UFC after that in his first fight, and the fight went 2-11 in the first round. So crazy stuff. Also on the card, there was a great win for Edson Barbosa, defeated Lucas Martins, and I think that was Steve Mazzagatti reffing that. I think it was Mazzagatti, and that was, he let that, you know, submission from punches, but, you know, the referee let it go on way too long, and you know, very strange refereeing decisions over in Brazil. Nick Lentz had a big win over Diego Nunes, and that, you know, certainly puts him in contention at the 145 division also. Ronnie Marks defeated Andrew Craig. Andrew Craig's first loss of his career, unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. Also on the main card, we had good wins for CB Dalloway over Dalian Serafian, a split decision win. I think CB just shaded it. Serafian, you know, both guys were absolutely wrecked at the end of the fight. They were so tired. But Dalloway just took it for me. Anyway, it was a controversial decision, but I think Dalloway just possibly nicked that fight. Obviously, also on the card was Gabriel Gonzaga versus Ben Rothwell, a submission guillotine choke. Ben Rothwell actually looked in really good nick the second round. It ended. He sort of gone in for a takedown. Gabriel Gonzaga grabbed his neck, caught him in the guillotine, and boom, bang, it was over. He tapped out, and that was a good win for Gonzaga. Obviously, you know, he's formerly a top title contender, but you know, how far do these guys go? It was a strange card, and Khabib Nurmagomedov defeated Thiago Tavares to keep his awesome streak of 14-0 going, 155 of the very first rounds. And this guy, you know, people were sort of saying under this fight, can he keep it up? Can the Russian, you know, is he this good? But he certainly put on a very, very impressive display against Thiago Tavares. KO with elbows, really, really strong stuff from him. But obviously, we're not going to dwell too long on this card because it was 2 weeks ago. We're gonna move it on. But it was a strange card, really. Thank God for Vitor Belfort, I suppose, for rescuing the card. Is really what we can say. It was just. Strange. It was just a really sort of lackluster card, and we're lucky that the main event you know, sort of surprised us as it did. A lot of people obviously had Bisping favor going into the bout, and Fedor Belfort upset the cards. But as well, he obviously called out after the fight. It was sort of a half-hearted call out of John Jones going on about Son and how much of an idiot he is, and he doesn't deserve the title shot. But it was a strange one. It was a strange sort of thing to call out. He got very angry and was going on about God and his usual sort of rants. I don't know how much you make of that. It's going to be interesting. He's not going to get another title shot against Anderson Silva, so it remains to be seen whether he's going to go back up to light heavyweight or stick around at middleweight for a while. But he'd be a good gatekeeper to the top sort of three or four to fight guys like Costas Philippe, who would be an interesting one. Obviously, Luke Rockhold has been talked about this week as well, stepping in to face Vitor Belfort. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, guys, we're going to get to the first interview of the day. Earlier in the week before his fight last Saturday, I caught up with Ricardo Lamas. Ricardo the Bully Lamas. And Ricardo was good enough to give us about 10 minutes of his time. Obviously, he was cutting weight at the time. And obviously, we know the result now. He won. He's coming off a great win against Eric Koch. A fantastic, you know, ground and pound display from Ricardo Lamas. And surely he has cemented himself as number one contender for Jose Aldo's featherweight title. So I'm sure we'll hear news of that in the coming weeks to see what happens with that. And listen, yeah, I'll be back to you in a few minutes. And after we come back, we were going to talk about the UFC on Fox 6 card. So stick around and we'll get on to that. Cheers.
Hi, this is Hansel Gracie, and we are talking with Fucking Brawls.
So I'd say we're joined on the line by Ricardo Lamas, who goes up against Eric Koch this Saturday night at UFC on Fox 6 in Chicago. First of all, mate, how are you keeping? Thanks a million for coming on the show.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm doing good.
Good stuff. How's that? Obviously, you just told me there just before we came on air here, you're in the middle of a weight cut. How's the weight going, mate?
It's going really good. I'm about 10 pounds away right now. So I got about three more workouts. I got today, tomorrow, and Friday morning. And it's really not that bad of a cut at all. So I'll be making 145 pretty easy.
And awesome stuff. You're obviously facing Eric Koch this Saturday. What way can you see the fight going? And obviously Eric's a very dangerous fighter. He was supposed to obviously face Jose Aldo for the title last year, but had to pull out through injury. Do you feel as though this fight here defines the number one contender, whoever wins this fight, whoever comes out on top? Because you're coming up off wins against Cub Swanson and Hatsuo Hioki as well. So what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is the number one contender fight. You know, this would be the second guy that I'm fighting now who's supposed to fight for the title. So I think we're deserving of being number one contender, whoever wins this fight.
Awesome stuff. And obviously you came off a win against Hioki, and you went in as the underdog. Is that something you're sort of you're used to going in, and is it something you sort of you relish coming in as a slight underdog into a fight?
Yeah, I've been in that position many times. It's not something that bothers me. It's something that I've dealt with before. other people's opinions don't really matter to me. You know, I may be an underdog in somebody else's eyes, but I go into every fight believing that I'm going to win.
Brilliant. And obviously, you choked out Cub Swanson with an arm triangle choke at UFC on Fox. You're on a lot of the Fox cards, actually, just checking here. They seem to like you on the Fox cards. How pleasing was that result coming out of that? Because I know Cub was a favourite going into that fight as well. And you showed a really good ground game. Is that something you're working on ahead of this fight against Eric Koch?
I work on everything all the time. I don't really single anything out for any specific fight. I want to work to be a well-rounded fighter, so I'm constantly evolving my ground game and my stand-up game at the same time.
Awesome stuff. And obviously with this fight, being in your hometown of Chicago, I know you train a lot in Miami. How good is that? Is it your first time fighting in your hometown where you're born?
No, it isn't, but it'll be... my last fight was in 2008 in Chicago, so it's been a while, and I'm glad to be back now.
Awesome stuff. And have you got family, and will there be a lot of support for Ricardo Lamas in Chicago on Saturday night?
Definitely, yeah. My whole mother's side of the family is here in Chicago, so they're all going to be there at the fight. I even have some family from Miami that's coming in to see the fight, and then I'll have a ton of friends and fans that are watching also.
Great stuff. Is there anyone in particular you've brought in possibly your training camp ahead of this fight to possibly replicate Eric Koch's style, and what have you really been focusing on ahead of this fight?
Nobody I brought in. We have some great southpaws here at Top Notch. We have a guy, Tu Warren, who's a southpaw. He's a kickboxer, so I did a lot of sparring with him down in Miami. We have a fighter, Rico Farrington, who's a tall, lanky southpaw, who's also a great striker. So I've been working a lot with those guys and some other southpaws that we have here in our camps, and I've been doing real good.
And what's the time? Have you been spending more time down in Miami than in Chicago? Because obviously it's a fight in your hometown. Have you changed anything up going into this fight?
I did about half and half. So I did half my training here in Chicago, went out to Miami right before Thanksgiving. I came back for Christmas, and then finished off my last 2 weeks after the new year out there in Miami.
Great stuff. And it must be really exciting for you to be on the main card of this, being a Fox card in Chicago. And it's obviously gone around all over the world, and especially obviously on mainstream American television. What's that feeling like?
It feels great. Most of my fights have been on the undercard. I had 2 televised fights in the WEC, and then the rest of my fights, I think 7 of them were on the undercard, so it's good to be getting the recognition now and getting the chance to be on the main card and open up events.
And Ricardo, something that always sort of intrigues me going into, when you wake up on Saturday morning, what's the routine? What goes on with yourself when you wake up on Saturday morning? What's the mind frame like going into the fight on Saturday?
I really try and stay as calm as possible. I try to keep my mind off the fight, even though it's very hard. It's constantly running through your mind. But I tend not to get, jacked up or anything. I think that kind of takes energy away. So I stay calm. I sleep in. I'll get some good meals in the morning, and I'll just stay calm and get ready for battle.
And for yourself personally, what way can you see this fight going? Can you see it ending by, knockout, submission? Do you see it going the distance? What's the plan?
Well, if he comes in underestimating my striking, I think he will get knocked out. If I get the takedown and impose my game on top, I can pull out the submission, and I could also grind him out to a decision. So either one of those ways could definitely happen.
And with this fight, what's the ultimate goal before the end of 2013 for yourself?
Just keep my win streak going and keep climbing the ladder, and hopefully get a shot at that title.
Awesome stuff. I'm sure you'll get close to that if you do the business on Saturday, because that will be 4 on the bounce in the UFC. You haven't lost yet in the UFC, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome stuff. Just before we wrap it up, mate, and obviously being your hometown and everything, is there any sponsors, anyone you'd like to give a shout out to, and your Twitter handle possibly?
Yeah, sure. I just want to thank my teams, Top Notch MMA and MMA Masters. You can follow me on Twitter, Ricardo Lamas MMA, and check out my website, ricardolamas.net.
Awesome stuff, mate. Listen, thanks a million for your time, and hope the wake up goes well, and best of luck at the fight on Saturday night in Chicago.
All right, thanks a lot.
Cheers, man. Boom. That was Ricardo Lamas. He's coming off with a fantastic win against Eric Koch at UFC on Fox 6 in his hometown of Chicago last weekend. So surely that throws him in to title contention in the featherweight division. Indeed, no doubt. And obviously, talking about that card, that was probably the most impressive win of the weekend as far as I was concerned. Obviously, Demetrius Johnson defeated John Dodson by unanimous decision, 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. It was a really good fight. You know, it still remains to be seen whether, you know, people are going to tune in and watch the flyweights. I certainly do. I love the guys watching them fight. I just think it brings a whole different dimension to mixed martial arts. You see the pace. You see how fit these guys are, how tough these guys are. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Again, I really enjoy watching the flyweights. So I was really impressed with that fight yet again. Glover Teixeira, Rampage Jackson. Obviously, Glover got a unanimous decision victory, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. And that obviously ends Quinton Rampage Jackson's second stint in the UFC. He is obviously a free agent now at this stage. So see you later, Rampage. Glover Teixeira was dominant. Not a really amazing display. I'm still a little bit out in Glover at the moment, whether or not, you know, I'd like to see him face off against, you know, someone a little bit different in the light heavyweight division, someone like possibly Lyoto Machida or someone like that, to really prove himself before he is given a title shot. Andy Pettis, obviously another fantastic display yet again from Pettis, defeating Donald Cerrone in the first round after 2 minutes 35 seconds after a ferocious sort of liver kick, body kick, smashed across Cerrone's liver, and he was winced. He was hurt earlier on from a knee. He did another wonderful sort of highlight reel knee did Showtime Pettis. He jumped up in the cage and kneed Cerrone in the head. Fantastic stuff yet again from Showtime Pettis. What a competitor, and he is surely not far away from a title shot against Benson Smooth Henderson. And Ricardo Lamas, as we were just talking to there, coming off a great win against Eric Koch, and surely that, you know, catapults him into a number one contender spot in the featherweight division. Also on the card in the featherweight division, on the prelim card, Clay Guida defeated Hatsuo Hiyoki in his featherweight debut. A split decision, controversial decision, 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. I think Clay just took it down. Still a little bit unimpressed with Clay's performance. I know Hatsu is a, you know, a tough competitor, a veteran from Japan, and you know, Clay still, I was a little bit, just, it was a little bit workmanlike sort of performance yet again. He's fought some of the top guys, and obviously in the lightweight division, and I suppose making his drop to featherweight, a win's a win, and it's a good win over a top opponent like Hatsu Hiyoki. Also on that, Pascal Krauss had a great win against Mike Stumpf, unanimous decision win. Ryan Bader took down Vladimir Matyushenko, winning 50 seconds with a guillotine choke. Sean Jordan defeated Mike Rousseau with TKO punches in the second. Rafael Natal defeated Sean Spencer, submission triangle, arm triangle choke in the third round. And a great win for TJ Grant over Matt Wyman, TKO elbows and punches knockout after 4 minutes 51 seconds of the very first round in the lightweight division. That puts TJ Grant in great stead in the lightweight division, possibly moving him into sort of top 10 contention now, and he's moving up the ladder. He's coming off that's a great win against Matt Wyman, who was so impressive against, I think it was Paul Sass last time out, and TJ Grant. That takes TJ Grant to 4 wins on the bounce, obviously starting off against Shane Roller back in October 2011, then Carlo Prater, May 2012, Evan Dunham, great win over Evan Dunham, and obviously just coming off one against Matt Wyman. But it was one of those nights where, you know, I think it was all round a very decent card. The Glover Teixeira Quinton was probably my least favourite fight in the main card, and it was my least favourite fight going into the main card, and I think it lived up to that. It was a little bit, Teixeira did what he had to do to win. He was never looked in trouble. Rampage looked very tired, you know, towards the end of the fight, the third round, looked lethargic. Just never looked like really winning the fight. So I think, you know, people talk about Rampage quite a lot in the UFC, but since the second stint in the UFC, he's a shadow of the fighter he used to be. He's never going to win a title again in the UFC. Obviously, he's not, because he's leaving also. But I don't think it's that much of a... It's a loss of a character, just put it that way. But I think the mixed martial artist that was Quinton Rampage Jackson could, his bad glory days are clearly behind him, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, overall a very enjoyable card, and Demetrius Johnson yet again walks away with his title around his waist after his first defense of the title. And it's going to be interesting now to see what the UFC do with the flyweight division and who's going to be next challenge. Obviously, we have Ian McCall against Joe Benavidez this Saturday night. I think it's this Saturday. Is this Saturday, that card? No, it's not. It's possibly a little bit later in the month. But that's a fantastic fight in paper as well. And I think possibly the winner of that fight might get another shot at Demetrius Johnson, because there doesn't really seem to be... there's the names that are there. I love this division, but it's just, you know, it needs a bit of time to, you know, solidify itself. And, you know, it's obviously great promotion for the division headlining the card. But the interesting thing I did notice, and it was mentioned on another podcast actually during, I think it was yesterday actually, on Sunday, and they mentioned that, you know, it wasn't billed or promoted as a flyweight title fight. It was a world championship title fight. When Fox were doing their promotion, they didn't actually mention the flyweight world title. Because I think, you know, it's still obviously growing and it's a very new division, but I'm a big fan of the division anyway, and I hope, you know, people give it a chance to, you know, express itself and, you know, solidify itself as a main event status in the coming years. I think it'll take a little bit more time, obviously. It's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully, you know, down the line in a year or year and a half or so, it'll be an established division in the UFC, because I think that's the way... You know, these guys are great athletes, but okay, moving on, guys. We'll get onto a bit of a, you know, funnier note now. At the moment, I caught up with Adam Hunter of MMA Roast. Adam's been on loads of things. You know, he's been on Jay Leno's show. He's been on Joe Rogan podcast. He's his own show, as I mentioned there, Chokes and Jokes. It's a podcast show. You should check it out. It's really good. He's, you know, he's always on Twitter ripping the piss out of people, and a really, really funny, good, you know, sound dude. So I caught up with Adam Hunter of MMA Roasted, and this is what he had to say. A funny dude, and I'll catch you in a few minutes, guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Hi, this is Misha T, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line by stand-up comedian Adam Hunter. And Adam obviously is on Twitter at MMA Roasted on Twitter. And he's a new podcast called Chokes and Jokes. Adam, first of all, mate, how are you keeping there? Thanks a million for your time, for coming on the show.
Oh, no worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Catch the card last weekend.
Yeah, it was good, man. I kind of felt bad for Bisping. I got to say, I was kind of pulling for him.
We expected a lot more.
I mean, it seemed
more.
Like Belfort has been training with Lance Armstrong, though.
That's it. That's what Chael was remarking on anyway. Adam, listen, just tell us a little bit about how you got MMA Roast going, and it's obviously a very funny on Twitter. You're a very funny guy, and how did you get started with it, and what was the, you know, thinking behind it?
Well, I was the head writer for the MMA Awards in Vegas for a couple of years, for like 3 years, and then I was always like writing jokes for monologue. Like, I actually wrote Chael's monologue last year, and the monologue for Randy Couture last year, and I have a regular Twitter page, and I would always throw, like, you know, jokes about MMA, but a lot of people weren't getting them, because you know, a lot of my friends aren't that MMA fan. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. So then I figured, like, why not just have a Twitter account for just MMA fans, and like, I started putting the same jokes on this MMA Roasted account, and all of a sudden I was getting like 200 retweets, and people were just coming out of everywhere. And then all of a sudden, all these fighters started following me too. So that's kind of how it started going.
You were recently on the Joe Rogan Experience. How much of an experience was that? And I know Joe has mentioned you on the broadcast in the UFC as well before, one or two of your jokes. The Martin Campman joke was quite amusing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Rogan. Rogan's always been super cool to me, and just really nice, and just very, like, so supportive. And he asked me to open up for him a couple times, and I mean, not like, you know, I was like, sure. Mm-hmm. So then he said, hey, want to do my podcast? And I had no idea. I mean, I did the Jay Leno show, which in the U.S. Yeah. is like the big show out here. You know, I got like, you know, a couple hundred people added me on Twitter. It was a big deal. I did the Rogan podcast. I got like 5,000 more people. It was just like, holy shit. Like, talk about loyal listeners, man, which is awesome, you know, and he's got great fans and super nice people and very supportive. And I didn't realize it was a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I was going to be on for like 5 minutes, you know, say hello and then leave. I was there 3 hours. I was like, holy shit. It was awesome, though. It was like one of the craziest experiences of my life.
Awesome stuff. And I listened to that interview with Joe Rogan, and you said you're a bit of a tearaway kid when you're younger and you were sent to boarding school and stuff like that. How did you get into comedy?
I got sent to boarding school. I was a big wrestler in high school and college. And I actually wrestled with Dan Hardy a couple times.
Awesome.
out here. This is actually true. I'm not even like a joke. But when I was in college, I had my own like talk show on like public access, and then I ended up getting sued for like $20 million for like negligence and started a riot in school. That it wasn't my fault though. But this girl came on and got like made fun of and stuff. But and then I was like, wow, this is a great job. So then I was like, well, how could I have a job in entertainment where I don't have to rely on people and I could just rely on myself? And I knew that I was good at wrestling, not because I was like so skilled, but because I just worked my ass off. So comedy is one of those jobs you could just be as good as you want to be if you just outwork everybody. You know, so much of comedy is like editing, you know, just editing the joke. So many times people are funny, but they're just long-winded, which is why Twitter is so great for me, because it's like you have to be funny in like 140 characters or less, you know?
Do you, because you're always tweeting, I'm always, you know, retweeting your stuff as well, because it's fucking hilarious if we're honest about it. Do you just literally stay on it all night, like, because you're literally on Twitter 24/7?
Well, no. Well, no, sometimes I'll just write, like, you know what happens is sometimes I have these gigs where I'll work on a cruise ship, or I'll work on, you know, I'll be in a certain place for just like a week, like in Milwaukee or something, or just some crazy fucking Reno. I'll have nothing to do, so I'll just write jokes, you know, and then I just space them out sometimes, or sometimes I'll like retweet a joke that I like wrote like 6 months ago or something, which is kind of lame, but like I have all these new followers, and you know, and then I actually have like 100 pages of jokes about fighters. I have like every fighter like alphabeticalized. That's like my OCD comes in. I just like I have all these jokes about people, which is like it's fun. I mean, it's kind of cool sometimes. Like during the fights, and I'll tweet because I feel like I'm like watching it with like 18,000 people, you know. But they're not there to bother me, which is great.
Awesome stuff. And obviously, you know, some of your tweets have offended a few people. What's been the most sort of offended someone's got from one of your tweets?
I'm good friends with Mayhem, and then when Mayhem got arrested for like for going into a church naked, I wrote a couple jokes. I'm like, yeah, you know, he took Lay and Pray to a whole new level, and then I said something like, Mayhem Miller is the new host of Bible Beatdown, and his teammate Sierra Baudazara, who came to a show, got really offended by that.
Oh God,
you know, and that's the last guy you want is an Afghan killer.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
a beast.
So I had to call him. I'm like, dude, are you all right? He's like, so, man, I'm so fucking pissed right now about me. You know, so he was cool. Then we like made up. And then Nick Diaz wrote.
Oh, Jesus,
I wrote a joke.
Man.
I said Nick Diaz said that Mayhem Miller should stay off drugs. And then Nick Diaz goes, I didn't say shit, man. And I was like, this is not a real news account. Like,
yeah. Obviously, there's people like Felice Herrig. I listened to the interview there the other night in your podcast. It was very good. She's good fun. Like, and you have a lot of banter with her and Carla Sparza. I saw the pictures on your Twitter page and her Twitter page. Is it good to have people with you know, the opposite side as well, where they get involved in the banter and take it for what it is?
Yeah, a lot more of that. I mean, Uriah Faber like photoshopped my head. And then, like, it just made me into, like, looking like the kid from Jerry Maguire. And then we became friends after that. You know, because I said that when Faber sweats, he gets swamp chin.
Oh, Jesus.
Because his face looks like an ass. And next thing I know, Faber was like, MMA Rose, did you fuck? You know, so he was cool about it. John Dotson the other day, I was like, anybody want to be made fun of? And then Dotson's like, make fun of me, man. I didn't even know he was even following me.
And what's your favorite tweet that you've ever sent out or sort of insult to someone? Would you have a favorite one?
My favorite? Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, probably every time that Ronda Rousey goes to the ground, so do my pants. She was super cool about it. And like the other day I wrote, Misha Tate said that Ronda Rousey talks out of her asshole. If Misha Tate talked out of her asshole, I would listen to everything she had to say. And then Misha Tate wrote, ha ha ha.
Awesome.
I mean, I wrote Joe Lozon is ear for ear the toughest fighter, and then Lozon retweeted that. I was like, holy, it's funny sometimes when I'll like write something, Actually, one time it was Brian Stan was sitting on it was on television. Brian Stan was on television next to Randy Couture and someone else, and that like Steven Seagal just said that he could fight Randy Couture. So
and everyone
I said
else.
That Steven Seagal's underneath the table right now, waiting to jump on Randy Couture, right? And then Brian Stan wrote for on the, he was on TV and he wrote, "Well, I'm ready for a counterattack." And I'm like, "This dude's supposed to be commentating. He's reading my tweets and fucking commentating on my tweets."
I know, it was brilliant. I heard a few of them one night when on the commentary. It was absolutely hilarious. But listen, obviously you've met a lot of guys in the last few years, sort of your role models, because I know you're very much into mixed martial arts. Has there anyone you've met that's sort of been a letdown or not sort of the cool dude you might have thought they were?
Well, when I wrote all those jokes for the people on, like, I had to write all these jokes for the award show, and some of them were, like, they really kind of cheesed them out. Like, I wrote some really funny shit, but then they were like, "No, it's offensive, or, you know. So a lot of the stuff I had to write, like, where it wouldn't offend anybody, which is hard. So yeah. I had to give them to the fighters, and some of them were, like Shogun was super cool, and, like, Belfort was super cool, like, just really, really nice. Roy Nelson was, like... He was like he kept fucking with me. He's like, "This isn't funny. Like, I'm funnier than you. I'm the funniest guy." And it was like it was just me and him. Like, there was nobody else. Like, even like in the room. And then I was like, finally, I was like, "Roy, you're a funny guy, man. Maybe you should open up for me next week. I'm playing at the Hard Rock in Vegas." And then he was like, "Yeah, all right." And next thing I know, he called the Hard Rock to open up, and I was like. They're like, "Yeah, Roy Nelson called and said he wants to open." He said he was going to have you open up for him. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, man." Like, fucking, the guys were MMA fans. But then I called Roy and I was like, "Roy, are you really going to open up for me?" He goes, "Oh, I didn't make that call." I'm like, "Dude, you were the only one in the room that knew about the fucking Hard Rock." So he was a little strange, but he seemed like he was the only guy that gave me a hard time, but he was actually, you could tell he was a cool guy. Yeah, yeah. Everybody was pretty cool. I mean, when I met Donald Cerrone, the first thing he said to me, I go, "Hey, I'm nice to meet you, I'm Adam." He's like, "Roast me and I'll beat the fuck out of you."
And he would as well, man. He'd come after as a psycho.
And I was like, "All right, man, that's all you got to say." And he started laughing, and then he was like, "Really cool."
And but, the Brittany Palmer story as well. That was quite amusing. You said Brittany was she was sort of cool with you before you made a nasty joke about her. Is that sort of the same sort of way at the moment? Like, have you done that to anyone else that you might have you've met, you know, prior, and then you've made a joke about them, and they've been real cold with you or something like that?
I met John Jones. He was really cool about me, and then he blocked me on Twitter.
What did you do? Cool. Tell us the tweet that you sent John Jones.
Well, I just said a lot of people fell off the bandwagon because he was driving it. and then you know, I was
not
a lot
too
of
bad.
Jokes like that, you know. I was like, it was after that whole 51 scandal, and I was like, "John Jones just canceled Christmas." I mean, just like stuff like that. And he was, and then he blocked me. But I'm sure he probably was like. Like Matt Serra blocked me because I said he had to lose 30 pounds to make heavyweight or something, and but then all Matt's teammates like Chris Weidman and all these guys, Ray Longo, they're all like retweeting me, so awesome. I'm sure you catch anybody in the wrong. People catch me in the wrong day, and I like block them, you know, because I try to keep it all jokes.
Yeah.
Some people just go, "Look, you suck. I'm gonna fuck you up when I see you," and I'm like, "I'm not gonna deal with this," you know.
And what's your thoughts? Obviously, being an MMA fan as well, but your thoughts on the middleweight situation at the moment? You're talking about Chris Weidman there, and who do you think
Silva? I think Weidman probably has the best chance of beating Silva.
Yeah.
Because of his wrestling, and he's got good jits. It's just. Stand up. It's like Silva's got so many weapons.
He's awesome.
It's just so hard to find a guy that's going to emulate what he's going to do in sparring.
Yeah. Would you tell the guys a little bit about the podcast as well? I know you're only into your fourth episode, and I listened to it last night. I thought it was really funny. I think you had Helms on, Felix Herrig.
Oh yeah, it's called Chokes and Jokes. It's on the Sideshow Network. You can also see it on iTunes. It's me and my buddy Scott Epstein, who's like Eddie Bravo is like number one student who, you know, he's a black belt under Eddie Bravo, and he kind of handles the chokes, and I handle the jokes. Basically, we just combine MMA with like entertainment, and sometimes we'll have a porn star on, or we'll have just random people,
it's funny
as far as like celebrities and It's just a lot of fun. I mean, we don't really know what we're doing, to be honest, but I think that's what kind of makes it fun.
That's it. That's what podcasts are about. It's about, you know, having a bit of banter and fun when you're doing it, you know? So what's anything else in the pipeline for Adam Hunter and MMA Roasted? That are goals for the year? Have you anything coming up that you might want to tell the guys?
Well, hopefully I'm going to be on Jay Leto again soon. And then awesome. I sold this TV show to Fuel before it went under, but I'm going to try to resell it to another network called Kamikaze Comedy. You can see some of them on YouTube. It's like me doing comedy where people aren't expecting it. Like, for example, like I was a minister at a wedding and ended up getting attacked by somebody.
Yeah, what happened with that? I heard that when you were on the Joe Rogan.
Google comedian or YouTube comedian attacked at wedding. That's me doing stand up, and I have a whole show about like that, about comics doing, you know, where people aren't expecting it. Like, We did this one. Went to like an old age home and told them they were getting motivational speakers, and they got filthy comedians. One where we went on like speed dating. People thought they were on like actual dates. They were on with like comedians telling jokes.
Brilliant stuff, man! Holy shit! But tell us, who's your role model or inspiration there? Who do you really look up to?
I love Steve Martin. I think he's super funny. You know, I mean Dan Gable. There's just all different kinds of people. You know, like, I look up to a lot. I mean, GSP's a role model.
Yeah.
I love the way he carries himself. And
bit of everyone.
Know, Dan Hardy's a role model. He was like he's been to a bunch of my shows. Super cool, super nice. Just people that are nice, people that try to make the world a better place, you know?
Cool, man.
Whether it's through laughter or fighting or anything else.
So what can you see for the year ahead in mixed martial arts? Any predictions to make, my man?
Any predictions?
Yeah.
I think Edgar's going to beat Aldo.
Same here, yeah. I really do.
I think GSP is going to beat Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
I don't think Anderson Silva's going to even fight this year.
You think so?
I mean, if he does, it'll be at the end.
Yeah, that's home at the Garden.
And I don't know if I see. I would like Chris Weidman to beat Anderson Silva. He's a Hofstra guy. I'm from Long Island. He's from Long Island. But
that's cool.
I don't know if I see that happening. I think Kane's going to keep the belt for a couple more years.
I think so. Yeah. Cool, man. Listen, really appreciate your time, man. Anyone you'd like to plug or how can the guys get in touch with you?
MMA Roasted on Twitter or Adam Comedian on Twitter. If you go to adamhunter.com, you can see where I am. And if I'm ever in Ireland, you guys better come to a show.
Definitely, man. Definitely. You get over here. Hopefully the UFC will be back here in 2014. That's what Dana's promised us. Anybody promises that every year for the last God knows how long years. So listen, man. Yeah, listen. Thanks a million for your time. Been great talking to you, man. Best of luck, Adam. Cheers. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Cheers. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Adam Hunter for his time. Absolute top man, funny dude. And you can catch Adam on Twitter at MMA Roasted. Really funny guy. So be sure to hit him up on Twitter and check out his new podcast, Jokes and Chokes. Really funny. You can catch that on iTunes and Stitcher. So be sure to check him out. Really, really cool dude. Thanks a million, bro, for your time yet again. Okay, moving on a little bit. Could talk a little bit of Cage Warriors now. Obviously, we're over there. At Cage Warriors 51 in the Helix in Dublin, in our hometown of Dublin, Ireland, on New Year's Eve. And one of the top performers on the night was Paul Redzer Redmond, who had a fantastic... If you haven't seen this, go to cagewarriors.com, guys, and check out this submission. The video's up on their website. Fantastic toehold submission win for Redzer Redmond, who is gone to 3-0 now in Cage Warriors promotion. And he is going up against Alexi Roberts in the HMV Forum in London, in Kentish Town, in March. Hopefully I'll be over for that fight in London, because you know, Carl Pendert is facing Gael Grimaud for the welterweight title, Dublin's own Carl Pendert. So no hometown bias there, not whatsoever. But listen, Paul really was very impressive. So I recommend you check that out. And I caught up with Paul Redzer Redmond. We're not going to hang around for much longer because we've got a lot still to get through. I caught up with Paul Redzer Redmond. This with the say, guys. Catch you in a few minutes. Cheers.
This is Tarek Sashidin, the new Everlast Strikeforce welterweight champion, and you're all listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line by Paul Redzer Redmond, who's coming off a win against Ryan Roddy at Cage Warriors 51 in the Helix on New Year's Eve in Dublin. Thanks a million for coming on the show, mate. How are things with you? How are you keeping?
Yeah, it's good, man. How's things?
Not too bad here. Obviously, against Ryan Roddy, you had a nasty submission win. It was an awesome toehold. We're up at it ourselves here, Talking Brawls, myself and Mark. How impressed were your performance, and what did you take from the win against Ryan Roddy?
Yeah, he was a really, really tough guy. Good, he was good and strong, started nice and fast. I took a lot away from that fight. The submission is one I do a lot in the gym, so I mean, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary or anything I thought about on the spur of the moment. That's something I work a lot on in the gym, and it's something I really like doing. So that it was just happened I was in that position, I went for it and got it. It looks a little bit more fancy than what it actually is, if you know what I mean. But I was pleased to get it, and yeah, it was a good fight.
It's been announced you're fighting against Alexei Roberts at Cage Warriors 52 in London on the 9th of March. How much are you looking forward to that fight, and do you know much about your opponent?
I can't wait. Yeah, a couple of looks. I just watched a couple of his videos and all. It's not something I really do though. Looking too much into. I let my coaches do all that, and they'll drill anything necessary, you know. Otherwise, we're still just walking at boxing, at ground game, wrestling. So I'm not worried about anything that brings, everybody is training everything now. So, I mean, everybody's good everywhere, you know. It's just one of those things. You have to be good everywhere. There's no stand-up fighters. There's no ground fighters anymore. Everybody's training at all. So, I mean, he is tough. Cuts a lot of weight. He's big. He's strong. So I think it'd make for an interesting fight, all right.
Good stuff. And you're fighting at a Team Rhino. How good is the setup there? I know Andy Ryan's the head coach there. How good are things there?
Man, they're so good. They're the best. Andy's just the best. He's an awesome coach. He really is. He pushes us down in that gym. Nobody trains harder than us. You know. The lads down the gym as well, they're surrounded by top ranked guys in Europe. Neil Searle's been in the top of the flyweight division for years now. You know, John Donnelly has fought the best fighters out there, Jared Gardner, Sashi's fought Paul Daly, Dustin West. You know, you just can't beat that. That's we good atmosphere in Team Rhino, you know, so it's just brilliant.
The evolution of sports since you started fighting in mixed martial arts, how much has it evolved in this country? And there's so many guys coming through. Obviously, we saw Conor on New Year's Eve there against Ivan Buchinger, incredibly impressive performance. How do you think mixed martial arts is? It's really taken off in this country, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm actually still only relatively new to the sport. I've only started MMA 4 years ago, and I've only been competing 3 years, you know. So I'd still be in the new beginning of my career, you know. Yeah. So from what I've seen, I know Conor's around a long time. Conor's really good. He's been fighting a long time. He used to box out in Crumlin as well, so he's been doing it a really long time, you know. And he's at the top of the featherweight division now in Ireland and in Europe as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, but with regards in Ireland, as I said, nobody's training one thing anymore. All gyms. I train and everything now, I mean, to get good. So it's good in that aspect, but there's a lot of gyms opening up now with, I don't want to say, not good fighters or anything like that, but certainly, there's some gyms opening up now with semi-professional fighters teaching the other semi-professional fighters, and people who haven't started them, no experience at teaching these things. Whereas if the students of them gyms just went to good gyms like Team Rhino or SBG, really good coaches, really good. They learn much better, and I think in that aspect, it would produce better fighters. You know,
that's to keep the level higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
You fought on the local scene with Battle Zone Fighting Championships, Clan Wars, etc. You've moved on now to the European scene, obviously with Cage Warriors. It's the biggest promotion in Europe, and you've gone. Yeah. How pleased are you with your start? With Cage Warriors, you've gone 3-0.
A lot of people are asking me, Jesus, you've done really well this year. I have done really well this year, but I didn't do too bad in 2011 either. I turned pro in 2011 and I went 3-1 professional and 2-0 semi-professional, so I had a good year that year too. But I think a lot of people are just noticing a bit more because it's on that bigger show, because people watch that on the likes of MMA Junkie and they live stream it. So it certainly gets you that bit more recognition, obviously, you know.
Definitely. And obviously Cage Warriors, their setup's very good and everything's it's done very professional with them. How different is that obviously to the local sort of regional sort of promotions?
Man, Cage Warriors are so good. You go anywhere with them and you're treated really well. They look after you. You're treated like an athlete, you know. You're treated really well with them. Not saying that about local shows or promoters and like that. They treat you just as good to what they can do, you know.
Exactly,
obviously, Cage Warriors would have a bigger budget and stuff like that, you know. And the Cage Warriors are just brilliant to work with, you know.
Looking at this fight, is there anything you're working on ahead of this fight against Alexei Roberts?
Now, as I said, look at me, bar nearly 3 or 4 nights a week. We roll nearly 4 or 5 nights a week. We wrestle 3 or 4 nights a week. So we're doing it all every night of the week, you know. And then just through my training camp now, I'm sure Andy and anybody like the likes of Neil C now, they'll all be drilling me and saying stuff that they think I would need to be working on, you know. But other than that, I mean, it's basically you walk your stand up, you walk your wrestling, you walk your ground, and it all just comes together as one then on the night, you know.
Brilliant stuff, Paul. And Paul, what's the goals for the year? Have you anything, any targets set in place that you want to achieve by the end of 2013?
Yeah, I'd like to possibly break maybe the top 10 in the lightweight division in the UK. Like, I mean, I'm 20 now, like, so I mean, just keep fighting good guys. Like, I mean, Alexi Roberts is 24, so even just keep fighting highly ranked guys, and that's obviously how your name stays out there, you know. There's no point in taking a step back and trying to keep your record high. Might as well fight these guys, you know, they're good, you know, so why not?
Exactly, great stuff, mate. Listen, anyone you'd like to plug before we wrap up the interview, mate?
Just everyone at Team Rhino. Andy Ryan is great, my boxing coach Joe Clifford, and just my sponsors, Dave McConkie over at South Dublin Strength and Conditioning, he's a genius, Urbana Hair Removals and MC Nutrition, they're great.
Brilliant stuff. What's the Twitter?
Follow me at Redder MMA.
Great stuff. Listen, Paul, thanks a million for your time and best luck. Talk to you again in the future, mate. Thanks a million.
Alright, cheers. No, thanks very much.
Cheers.
And that was Paul Redzer Redmond. You can catch Paul on Twitter at Redzer MMA. As we've said already, Paul Redmond has gone up against Alexi Roberts at Cage Warriors 52 in Kentish Town in London at the HMV Forum Arena in March. So we're all looking forward to that lineup. That should be a cracking card, and that's been finalised, that card today. So on the preliminary card is Alex Enlund versus Martin McDonagh, Brett Bassett versus Brett Seisland, Chris Fishgall versus Stephen O'Keefe. That's the prelim card. Moving on to the main card, we have Liam James versus Alan Philpott, Paul Redzer Redmond versus Alexi Robert, Matt Immon versus Jack the Stone Mason, Tommy Maguire, who's John the One Maguire's brother, versus Merv Mulholland, Mohsen Bahari versus Bruno Carvalho, and then in the main event of the evening, Gael Grimaud goes up against Carl Pendert for the Cage Warriors welterweight title. So that was really lining up nicely, and really looking forward to that card. It should be an absolute cracker, and that is obviously live on MMAJunkie.com around the world, and it should be an absolute corker of a card. And if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Talking Brawls. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. You can get in contact with myself directly, Noel McGrath 4 on Twitter, Mark Moriarty 101 on Twitter. And you can email us if you want, talkingbrawls@gmail.com. So that is the shizzle, guys. Thanks very much yet again to Mr. Paul Redmond there. And best of luck to him in Cage Warriors. We'll hopefully be over at that also. So really looking forward to that. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Obviously, the middleweight division is really sort of, we don't know really where we stand at the moment. I think it's a right way to stay. We don't know what Anderson Silva is going to do. There's been breaking news this evening that on the Mixed Martial Arts Air with Ariel Helwani on MMAfighting.com, Ed Suarez was on that show today, and Ed Suarez said that they were interested in possibly taking on Kung Lee. It's a bit of a strange one, because I think there's guys ahead of Kung Lee in the division, such as Chris Weidman. You know, guys, there's going to be guys coming over like Luke Rockhold. We obviously have Tarek Safadine, sorry, I beg your pardon, Costas Philippou, who's, you know, we catch up with him later on. He wants to fight Michael Bisping, yet he actually says he's not ready for a title shot, which is fair enough. But, you know, there's other guys, I think, that, you know, have to be taken into consideration before Kung Lee, but that remains to be seen. And I don't think Dana White is too happy on or Joe Silva will be too happy with putting that fight on. So I think it could be more hearsay than anything at the moment, but we'll see, obviously, in the coming days and weeks. And speaking of Costa Philippou, obviously, I caught up with him last week, and he revealed some exclusive news that he'll be out for a few months with, till July. He's hoping to get a fight again. He's broke his nose quite badly and had to get an operation on it last Wednesday. Or it's actually tomorrow he's getting it done, I think. 29th, he said to me, which is tomorrow. And he also revealed that Michael Bisping would be his preferred next opponent. And I think that'd be a really good fight, a very good kickboxer, Michael Bisping, against up a really good boxer, former professional boxer in Costa Philippou. Okay, let's get to our next interview of the day. I caught up with Costa Philippou last week, and this is what he had to say. Guys, I'll catch you in a few minutes, and we will talk all things UFC 156 this weekend. Frankie Edgar versus Jose Aldo for the world featherweight title. Okay, catch you in a few minutes, guys. Thanks.
This is the Crippler, Chris Levin, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to say we're joined on the line by Costas Philippou, UFC middleweight, who was coming off a win against Tim Boesch at UFC 155 in December. Costas, how are things, mate? How are you keeping?
Everything is great. Thank you for having me.
No problem, no problem. Obviously, that win, how pleased were you with the performance against Tim Boesch?
I was pretty happy about it. I got the win. I wasn't happy with the first round. I got taken down, but it was only for a few seconds. I had no damage, but I'm hoping next time I do even better.
Where do you feel you are in the division after that win? Because that's five on the bounce now in the UFC. You've beaten Tim Boesch, Ricky Fuda, McGee, Hammond, and Jorge Rivera.
Yeah, at this point, I'm up there with the top guys in the world. So I'm hoping my next fight will be a very high-ranked opponent and maybe beat me. I don't know. Beat me just lost his fight.
Yeah.
But still a great fighter, still a big name. So I think it will be a good matchup.
And what was your opinion of that fight at the weekend? Obviously, Belfort took on Michael Bisping in Brazil. What was your opinion of the performance from Michael Bisping?
Like I said in a previous interview, Bisping is the kind of guy who throws volume and a lot of punches and kicks, and the guy doesn't get tired. Belfort is very explosive and very strong the first couple of rounds, and I thought that if the fight went more than two rounds, that Bisping was going to get the fight. He just got unlucky and got caught with that high kick and got finished. But up to that point, he was throwing a lot of punches, a lot of kicks. He was out striking Belfort, but again, fighting against the southpaw, the left punch and the left cross and the left kick is kind of very dangerous for the righty. So he just got caught with that kick, and it was unfortunate, but to be honest, I wanted Bisping to win. I wanted to see Bisping against Anderson Silva. But it didn't happen, and I'm sure Bisping will come back. He's a tough fighter, and he'll make it up again.
And obviously, this guy is like Luke Rockhold has mentioned, he would like to possibly fight you at UFC on Fox 7. Would that be a fight that would possibly interest you, or is there anyone in particular you'd be looking at fighting? Because I know you mentioned yourself that you would like to fight the winner of Brian Stann and Silva.
And Vander Silva, yeah, I know. And Vander Silva said he will retire after this fight, but just in case he decides that he's not going to retire, it will be a huge honor to fight either one of those guys. Either way, though, I'm not looking to fight before June. I just actually, and you'll be the first to know right now, I just found out today. I went to the doctor last week about my nose. I had trouble breathing, and my nose, it was a little more sensitive than normal, and I found out my nose was broken. It was shifted a little bit to the right. That's why I couldn't breathe. So I just scheduled a surgery for next Wednesday, the 29th, actually, and I'm gonna go in and fix my nose. So that will take some time to heal. So I'm looking to fight around June again. So I figure Stan and Silva fight. They're fighting in March. I'm hoping around June they'll be ready too. So I could get one of those guys.
Yeah, you're sort of open to fighting anyone, are you, in the division?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I'm a fighter. It's my job, obviously. Luke is a great fighter. Mm. I've heard he's calling me out now. He's coming from Strikeforce. It's not an easy thing to do to get a Strikeforce title. He's a great fighter. And again, if the UFC decides that I'm going to fight Luke, it will be my honor, and I'll do my best to get in and put up a good show,
And just moving on a little bit to something a little bit of a different topic, Costas. Obviously, coming from Cyprus, and we're based here in Ireland, you know, when MMA is really taken off here in this country. But obviously, how did you get into mixed martial art?
Oh yeah, I didn't get into mixed martial art in Cyprus.
Okay.
I got into mixed martial art when I came to the States. When I left in 2005, I left Cyprus. Very few people knew what mixed martial arts were, including me. I came to the States in order to become a professional boxer, and I started fighting as a professional boxer, and then I tried MMA for a few months, and I started fighting MMA, and I fell in love with the sport. But back then, nobody knew what MMA was in Cyprus. Now they have a few MMA gyms, or so-called MMA gyms, and they're doing a few MMA tournaments. I figure a few more years, 2-3 years, they'll have a few good fighters from Cyprus too.
And obviously, yeah, moving over to the United States, how did you settle in over there, and was it much of a culture shock to you when you arrived over in the United States?
Yeah, at the beginning, the first year was kind of difficult, I have to say. I was used to a different way of living, but I adjusted, I adapted, and it was the best decision I ever did, ever made in my life. So I'm living a great life over here, and I'm hoping to do even better in the future. Yeah.
And obviously, you talk about fighting again, possibly in June. Obviously, you said you take anyone the UFC put in your way, but what's the ultimate goal for Costas Philippou as a fighter? Where do you want to be? Have you set yourself any targets before the end of 2013 to accomplish?
I don't know. The past couple of years, the past 2 years, I had a pretty good time in the UFC. I kept winning. I'm not setting any goals saying I would like to fight the champion in 2013 or not. I just taking a fight at a time. It's been working so far for me. So I'm hoping to win one or two fights in 2013. And again, my goal is to win my next fight, and I take it from there. I don't know. It's very hard to set goals in the UFC because anything can happen at any given time. So I don't want to get disappointed. So I'm focusing on my next fight, whoever that opponent may be, and my goal is to just win the next fight, and that's about it. I'll take it from there.
Do you ever feel as though there's been a lot of talk about Chris Weidman possibly getting the next shot at Anderson Silva this week after Bisping's loss at the weekend there? Do you ever feel as though people might be sort of overlooking you, the organization might be overlooking you, because you're not one of the, you know, the bigger well-known names in the organization in the middleweight division? You're obviously making inroads into doing that, but you're not an established household name, sort of like Michael Bisping or Chris Weidman is sort of, you know, he's taken over.
You can't compare my position with Michael Bisping. Has, I don't know, 15, 17 fights in the UFC. He's been around forever. Bisping is a huge name now. As far as Chris Weidman goes, he had a couple of more fights against higher ranked opponents than me. Take out his name and he'll be higher than me. You know what? It doesn't matter to me. Yes, he's more well known than me, and what is that? The guy's a great fighter, and if Anderson Silva or the future champion or whatever decides to face Chris Weidman, I'll be happy for the guy. I don't really see it like that. I'm not into this sport to be famous. I fight because I enjoy fighting, and I like the feeling of winning. So I'm hoping I win my next fight, and if I'm famous or not, it doesn't really bother me.
You're a dream for the UFC.
you know what? I never asked for opponents, and I told them. So far, they've been doing a good job. It's been working for me. So I'm not going to change things. As long as something works, I'm not changing anything.
There must be someone, though, stylistically, you'd like to face up against in the middleweight division. Is there any sort of name you'd like to see yourself fighting? Obviously, Anderson Silva down the road, but anyone sort of, you know, in a number one contender sort of fight? Is there anyone you feel as though you'd match up very well against?
You know what? I'm not even Anderson Silva. I don't think I'm ready for that guy yet. I know, and I'm the only guy who actually admits that. I wouldn't want to fight Anderson Silva right now. Obviously, the offer, I'm not going to turn down the fight. But like I said, Brian Stan, Wanderlei Silva, even Michael Bisping, I would love to fight that guy. That guy is a great fighter. He always comes in shape. He's willing to exchange punches, and I think it will be an exciting fight. I just got tired of all these wrestlers that they're not willing to stand and exchange punches, and all they want to do is go to the ground and just hold each other. And I don't mind. I enjoy it sometimes, but you know what? The crowd doesn't really enjoy that kind of fight. They want to see punches and kicks. They want to see knockouts. And I'm willing to show that and get in and exchange and use my striking. And against an opponent like Bisping or Stan or Wanderlei Silva, I think that fight will be very exciting for the fans and for me, obviously.
Awesome. So what do you personally see happening in the middleweight division yourself next? Who do you think Anderson Silva is going to be facing?
Actually, I read yesterday online that Rashad Evans will come down to 185 and fight Anderson Silva. So I don't know what's going on. Vito Belfort just being the number one contender, and he's calling out a light heavyweight.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what the deal is. obviously it's up to the UFC and up to Anderson Silva. So for the, at this point, Anderson Silva has a saying in this. I don't know if the guy wants to fight at 170, 85, or 205. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it would be an exciting fight if I see Anderson Silva fighting Jonny Jones.
Oh, awesome.
That's
definitely
my opinion. From a fan point of view, I think Anderson Silva, Jonny Jones would be an exciting fight. But again, I don't know. Now, Rashad Evans might come down to 185 and fight Anderson Silva. Vito Belfort might get another chance. Chris Weidman is injured at the moment. He's coming back. I think he should be ready by June also. So I don't know if they're going to give him a shot, but I would like to see that fight also. Chris Weidman is a great wrestler, and as Cho Sonnen showed in the past, wrestling is Anderson Silva's weak spot. So I think Chris Weidman can do some damage.
And just
definitely will be a dangerous fight for Anderson Silva.
Yeah, it'd be a great fight. But it's a bit all over the place at the moment. The sort of middleweight division with the champions possibly talking of going up different ways to super fight, etc. But yourself personally, Konstantinos, is there anything you're going to work? Obviously, you're out with your nose injury now for a couple of months. But I presume you'll be training. Is there anything are you going to work on your jiu-jitsu still? Are you going to keep plugging away at that? Is there anything in particular you're going to try and improve on before you get back to the octagon again?
Oh, I haven't stopped working my jiu-jitsu. I'm working on my jiu-jitsu and my wrestling
awesome.
Every day. I just didn't get the chance to show my jiu-jitsu because nobody managed to keep me down so far. And if you don't make me use my jiu-jitsu, I'd rather get up on my feet and train. I feel confident with my jiu-jitsu to go against anybody. And my takedown defense got pretty good so far, but it's never enough. So I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I'm going to be a couple of months now and I won't be able to spar. I'm going to take advantage of that and work even more on my jiu-jitsu and get even better on the ground because I work on my striking every day with different strikers, different boxers, different kickboxers. But I want to pay a little bit more attention on the wrestling department and this will be the perfect opportunity for me because I won't be able to spar, so I can work on wrestling and submission a little bit more.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time, Costas.
Thank you.
Is there anyone, before we let you go, is there any sponsors or anyone you'd like to plug?
Again, with the sponsors, I'm kind of all over the place, so I don't want to mention some of
all
them
right.
and leave some behind, so I'd rather not say anything. I want to thank all my sponsors, but I don't want to really mention names and leave some behind, and then I get
get
some of
trouble.
Them won't be happy.
What's the Twitter handle, mate?
Excuse me?
What's your Twitter handle for your fans?
It's Philippe. I don't even remember my Twitter account. It's Philippe185 UFC.
All right, awesome. Listen, mate, thanks a million for your time.
Have a good day.
Cheers.
This is Julie Kedzie, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
And thanks again. That was top UFC middleweight Costas Philippou. Thanks a million to Costas for joining us yet again. Absolutely top man. And, best of luck to Costas in the future. And hopefully see him back in the octagon again soon against Michael the Count Bisping. That's the one he seems to want anyway. So that would be a great stylistic matchup. That's one I really like to see. So let's hope that happens. Joe Silva, get the finger out. Do it. Okay, yeah, guys, moving on. Just before we're going to go to obviously the UFC 156 card this weekend from Las Vegas, Nevada at the Mandalay Bay Event Center. It really is a stacked card. The main card is absolutely awesome, and there's some really good fights as well. Obviously on the prelim card, we're going to see a few debuts, UFC debuts. Tyron Woodley as well versus Jay Heron in the welterweight division. I'm really looking forward to that one. Tyron Woodley, he's a bloody good fighter. Let's just put it that way. He's coming off a great fight. Obviously he lost to Nate Marquardt before Nate Marquardt lost to Tarek Sponge Safadine at the final ever Strikeforce card just under a month ago. And, incredible fight that was with Woodley and Marquardt. And, Tyron's definitely one to watch out for. And Jay Heron, obviously, huge experience as well. That's going to be a cracking scrap. I'm going to go with Woodley on that. I think Woodley's... Heron, you know, he sort of hangs in there. He's a grinder. You know, he takes a shot pretty well. You know, he's all round solid all round. But I think Woodley's just more explosive, and I could see I can see Woodley possibly finishing this fight by TKO. So I'm gonna go Woodley TKO in the third. Also on the card, we see Yves Edwards versus Isaac Vale Flag, the guy from Black Zillions, obviously coming over from Strikeforce also as well, and that's bound to be a decent fight. Yves always brings it, and you can expect a knockout, I'm sure, in that fight. Jacob Volkman is facing up against Bobby Green in the lightweight division. That's going to be a good one as well. And Evan Dunham is going against Gleeson Thibault. You know, Dunham needs a win at this stage. He's his last couple of fights, most notably last time out, things didn't go too well for him when he faced up against TJ Grant, losing by unanimous decision at UFC 152. Previously to that, he beat Nick Lentz, Dr. Stoppage, and Shamar Bailey. And before that, he's coming off losses to Sean Sherk a long time ago in 2010 and Melvin Guillard in 2011, January 22nd. So really looking forward to you know, a few of the fights on the prelim card as well. So let's focus now on the main card. I'm you know, really looking forward to this card. It's a stacked card top to bottom. On the main card, and first of all, we're going to start off with Joe Benavidez versus Ian Uncle Creepy McCall, flyweight division. I'm really excited about this fight. Ian didn't do too well in his last fight, obviously against Demetrius, the rematch against Demetrius, and it was a very poor performance from Ian, and Ian was very unhappy about the way things went in his camp. I think his weight cut, he wasn't too happy with his weight cut. He said it was the worst weight cut of his career. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult one. They're both coming off losses to the champion, Demetrius Johnson. So, you know, it's no shame in that. But, you know, Joe does have a lot of power. I think Ian's going to, you know, want to prove something. He's not happy with his last performance. He thought he won the original match against Demetrius Johnson. But obviously, we know what happened in that situation. And it's a really tough fight to call, I think, this. I wouldn't even be surprised if it was a draw again. It's a really, you know, good stylistic matchup. Joe obviously has, you know, big power. Ian's, you know, good all round. It's a really interesting one, and I think I'm going to go with Ian, just shading this one. I have a feeling Uncle Creepy's going to, you know, he's out for redemption. He's a really focused dude. And I'm sure we actually would have had Ian on. We've had Ian on a couple of times before in the past. Obviously, with the week that's in it, we don't have access to our studio for a couple of weeks. Mark's obviously taking a couple of weeks off. So hopefully we'll catch up with Ian afterwards in a few weeks' time. So we'll be looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ian to take that fight. And really looking forward to that one. That kicks off the night on February the 2nd, this Saturday at UFC 156. Okay, moving on to John Fitch and Damian Maia in the welterweight division. This is a really intriguing fight. John Fitch, you know, the guy coming off a really impressive win over Eric Silva, 153 in October. Fight of the night, cracking fight. Great fight. Previous to that, he obviously lost to Johnny Hendricks. KO punch, I don't think we'll ever forget that one after 12 seconds. Massive power from Johnny Hendricks. It's an interesting one. It's a very interesting fight. Damien's obviously coming off a win against Dong Kyung Kim, where he got injured. You know, I think he twisted his back. I think it was, there was a back spasm, back problems is what the fight was stopped earlier on, a rib injury, I think it was, at 148 back in July. And then he's coming off a really good win against Rick Story, a neck crank, which is that was in Rio actually at on October 13th at 153 also. So really looking forward to that fight as well. And I'm going to go, a lot of people mightn't agree with me on this one, I've been pretty impressed with Damian Maia. I know he's only fought twice at welterweight, and I was quite impressed against Rick Story last time out. And I think, you know, Damian, it was his first win, I think, in a long time. It was his first submission win for such a, you know, a recognized one of the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners in the world, to go so long without you know, winning by submission. And I was impressed. I was really impressed with his performance, and I think we're going to see something similar again. I do fancy Damian Maia to win this fight against John Fitch, but I'm really looking forward to it. It could be a cracking scrap. Fight of the night sort of written all over. I'll go with Damian win by submission. I'm going to go by submission in the third round. It will go to the later rounds, and that's sure to be a cracker, so make sure you check it out. Okay, let's move on to the heavyweight division. Alistair Overeem versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva. Obviously, Alistair is back in the octagon for the first time in over a year since his ban for testing, being over the testosterone limit, a lot over the limit, should we say. But in fairness to Alistair, he seems to have cleaned up his game, and he looked a little less pumped or big. Apparently, he's put on more weight, but he doesn't look as what would you say, robust sort of stature on him, like Michelin Man. He's looking a little bit sort of trimmer, I think, on the muscles or the tone. But listen, that's not here nor there about the fight. Yeah, I do. I really fancy Alistair Overeem to win this. He's predicting a first round stoppage victory, and I'll go along with that. I can see Alistair Overeem dominating with his kickboxing. You can expect big shots, big kicks to the body of Silva, and try and finish him off with a knockout punch. That's what I would see this fight going. Obviously, Antonio Silva's dangerous, coming off a win against Travis Hapa Brown. Obviously, Hapa tore his hamstring quite badly in that fight in three or four different places. I think he tore his hamstring, so that didn't help his cause. But Antonio Silva, he's a dangerous opponent. He's obviously coming off, he's had big wins in Strikeforce before he came over. And I do fancy Overeem. I just think he's too much. He's too driven. He wants a shot at this title, and I think he's going to be very much on the way to getting his title shot this summer, probably, if he takes down Antonio Silva. Alistair Overeem versus Cain Velasquez should be on our doorstep pretty soon, I think, after this weekend is done with. Moving on then, I'm going to go Overeem first round TKO victory. Moving on to the light heavyweight division, Rashad Evans against Antonio Rogério Nogueira. And this is, I can't see any winner but Rashad Evans. Little Nog, Rashad hasn't fought in a while. That could be the only thing, a bit of possible ring rust. It's over a year since he fought Johnny Jones, just under a year, and he's obviously coming off a win against Tito Ortiz. He beat Tito Ortiz by TKO at UFC 140 back in December 2011, so he's actually over a year as well since he's fought, and before that he's coming off losses to Phil Davis and Ryan Bader. Rashad Evans, I think, is going to have too much for Little Nog in this fight. Rashad is a hungry dude. There's talk, obviously, about him dropping possibly to middleweight to fight Anderson Silva. But as we've heard today, Kung Lee has thrown his name in the hat. Now, well, Ed Suarez has thrown Kung Lee's name in the hat, Anderson Silva's agent. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. It's Rashad's first fight in since April 21st, 2012. So I'm going to go with a victory for Rashad Evans in this. I think Rashad's going to look to end it early, trying to make a statement, and either get back to that John Jones title shot. Obviously, you're going to have probably Daniel Cormier getting a shot before Rashad Evans does, and obviously we've John Jones and Chael Sonnen, the Ultimate Fighter, coming up. And I'm going to go victory for Rashad Evans, knockout in the second for Rashad. It's a tough one, but I think it's going to go that way. And obviously, the main event of the evening. What a fight this is. This is an absolute corking fight. Jose Aldo Jr. versus Frankie the Answer Edgar. And obviously, if you're a regular listener to the show, I'm a big fan of Frankie Edgar. Always have been. I just love the way the guy fights and his heart and resilience. He's a top fighter, absolutely top fighter. And I just love to see Frankie win this fight. I'm not being biased. Well, I sort of am a little bit. But it's just, this fight has everything written all over. It could be an absolute humdinger. I can even see Frankie sort of starts his fights off slowly. He always seems to get injured or knocked down badly in the first round or two. Obviously against Benson Henderson, that was the case with that nasty upkick. We won't talk about the results of those fights because you know what way, if you're a regular listener to shows, I said that I thought those fights went. But that's not here nor there now. Frankie's at a different weight class. He's obviously dropped down to featherweight, his first fight of featherweight. It's not going to be much of a weight cut problems. You know, Frankie walks around at 150, so it's five pounds to cut for Frankie. It's nothing at all. He'll make it easily. Jose Aldo, obviously an absolute top, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters. Both guys are. This is... Dana White mentioned during the week, this is a it's like a super fight, really. These two guys are, you know, champions. Like, obviously, Frankie's a former lightweight champion. And, you know, Jose Aldo's just ran through the division since being in the UFC. He's beaten everyone, WEC, and he's won, what, 3 in the UFC now. Obviously, Mark Hominick, what a fight that was. Kenny Florian, Chad Mendes. And now Frankie Edgar, what is going on this fight? And this fight could, you know, as I've just said there, it could be back and forth in the first few rounds. I'm ultimately going to go with you know, Frankie coming under early adversity to come back and take a decision victory. I'm going to go with Frankie nicking this. I'm going to give you my exact prediction. I'm going to go Frankie nicking this 3-2. I think Jose Aldo will take the first two rounds and Frankie will take the last three, finish strongly. And expect this to go 5 rounds, guys. I really do think it will, because I think Frankie's a phenomenal athlete. The guy is, you know, incredible chin on him. He's always coming, but obviously Gray Maynard fight. He came back from early adversity. Benson Henderson with the upkick. And just expect this one to be a bit of a humdinger. I think this could be an early contender for fight of the year. And, you know, super fight written all over. It effectively is a super fight because Frankie's dropping down to featherweight. But I really, really can't wait for this one. And it could be an absolute barn burner. So be sure to check out UFC 156 this weekend. Obviously, for viewers in the UK and Ireland, that is on ESPN. UK. So that starts at 1 a.m. I think, the prelims. So be sure to check that out, guys. And obviously, just before we wrap it up this week, you can catch us, if you want to get in contact with us, you can catch us on Twitter at Talking Brawls, at Niall McGrath 4, if you want to get in contact with me, at Mark Moriarty 101, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. And if you want to get in direct contact with us, you can catch us on email at talkingbrawls@gmail.com. Also, before we wrap it up today, I just want to mention how good The Ultimate Fighter was. I was so impressed with the production of the show. I love the documentary-style cameras. I love the way they brought in the family to the house, to the prelim fights before the guys got to fight in the house. You actually know the characters. You know, you go in and you'd watch, you know, normal seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, and you wouldn't really get to know the characters. I think now with the family there and the interviews before these guys have fought, we actually remember some of the guys' names. And I can't ever remember. Like, I could be 5-6 weeks into, you know, to previous seasons without this this new production setup, and you wouldn't remember the guys. But there's obviously guys we can remember now, and we're going to be more sort of, you know, appealed to, because we've learned a little bit about their character and where they're from and what's been going on in their life before going into the house. And it's, I think it's a good thing to see the family. It's really really intriguing stuff, the way they did that in the first show. So it was a really good start for The Ultimate Fighter, and I think there's only good things to come. I can't wait to hear Chael, getting the banter going with John Jones, and these guys generally don't like each other, so it's going to be pretty spectacular stuff, I do think, this season on The Ultimate Fighter. Absolutely cracking stuff. So listen, again, just before we wrap it up, thanks a million for listening today. Thanks a million to our guests, Costa Philippou, Paul Reds of Redmond, Adam Hunter from MMA Roasted, and obviously we would like to thank Ricardo Lamas, and congratulations to him after a great win against Eric Koch at the weekend, and surely he is on his way to a featherweight title shot. And speaking of featherweight titles, be sure obviously to check out Jose Aldo and Frank Yeager this weekend at UFC 156, and whoever comes out on top of that, I'm sure they'll be facing Ricardo Lamas in their next outing after this weekend. So guys, it's been emotional as always, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. Myself and Mark will be back in 2 weeks, and listen, happy hunting, have a great time. From Niall McGrath and obviously the absent Mark Moriarty today, thanks a million for listening. As always, love yous and leave yous. Good luck and good night. Cheers.